Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text is the passage just read. So looking at this text, we are faced with an immediate question. What is hope? It's a hard question, isn't it? Usually people use the word in positive ways, unless they are saying, hope, I hope not, which they also say. Many times people say common things about hope, like, I hope it won't rain tomorrow and ruin our picnic. Or less common, but common at the seminary, I hope I get an A on the systematics exam. Or some thought like that. Here the term wish or expect might be a replacement. I think when the Bible is talking about hope, when we hear about hope from the Word of God, it has a different, deeper meaning. The Bible tells us, hope deferred makes the heart sick, but hope fulfilled is a tree of life. This is from the Proverbs. Romans chapter 8 tells us, but if we hope for what we do not yet have, we wait for it patiently. Here we have two interesting and useful perspectives on hope. In the one case, hope is described in terms of what it can do to us. In the other, what it brings to us. The heart is made sick when hope is dashed or deferred. There is that sinking feeling that things will not be right. There are thoughts, sometimes desperate, of how to fix and arrange things for safety, protect oneself from future disappointments that have been coming along. I will get to the second half of that verse in a minute. But suffice it to say that the meaning here is negative and describes a difficult and hurtful thing, a thing that we do not like to have in our lives. Hope deferred. In the second case, in the second verse, we have a roadmap for hope. Hope is something that gives the ability to wait patiently. One of my members once told me, don't ask for patience. If you ask for patience, God will bring you trouble. Because that's how God generates patience, is giving you trouble. The results of hope are patient waiting. When we have hope, we can patiently wait. I don't know if this classifies as a spiritual gift of God or some other way in which the Spirit works in us through the Word. But I do know the result. We can wait patiently. And now for the second half of that verse that I stopped. The hope fulfilled is a tree of life. It seems to me this hearkens to the real source of hope, the tree in the garden and the tree of the cross. The tree of life in the garden is not much discussed in the Bible. It was not marketed by Satan. Eve was not tempted by the tree. But God does prevent Adam and Eve from eating from it after they had sinned, so that they would not live on forever. We see its recapitulation in heaven in the book of Revelation, where the tree of life grows along both sides of the way, with its leaves for the healing of the nations. But the strongest place we see that tree is in the Bible, in the cross of Jesus, Jesus Christ. Oddly, it looks like a tree of death, but it is for us who see it rightly, the place of life. Here we see the goodness and mercy of God towards sinners, the magnificent love God has for us, exhibited in the great sacrifice he makes of giving his only begotten Son. This is truly life for us and death to God's Son, that tragic sacrifice that is also a source of our life. And of course, there is the great news that on the third day, Jesus rose from the dead, as well as Christ being alive and well, meeting women at the graveyard, having barbecue with the disciples. I don't think he was from Texas, but you know. And restoring a double and doubting disciple with the touch of his hands and side. And so Jesus touches us, telling us, "Behold, blessed are those who have not seen and yet believe." So now I have to get to the meat of the matter, because we do have to handle the text. And so what is Peter doing for us in this text? I would suggest he is providing hope, that as we read or listen to this text of Scripture, it is filled with elements that bring us hope. It feeds our hope. I don't think Lutherans quite know what to do with this. You know, we kind of put Peter off there. We like Paul, you know, let's study Paul. I study the Gospels, but Peter's kind of off on the side. But here we have Peter giving us real hope. We have a lively hope through a concrete event, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. We have hope in that treasure that is stored up for us in heaven. We have hope for these temporary and limited sufferings that we must suffer through here. We have hope in a gracious and merciful Lord who shields us in all things, not allowing us to suffer beyond what we can bear. And Christ also matures us in our faith, purging out the dross of our imperfect lives, yes, through sufferings in this life, that what we are in Christ Jesus might also be revealed in its fullness and purity in heaven. And we also have joy. Joy. Are we allowed to be joyful? Is that allowed? Or is somber only allowed in chapel? And we have joy in the Jesus we have not yet fully met, not yet encountered directly, except by means of grace and faith in the Word, who is also with us, but who we will see and touch and be with in everlasting righteousness, innocence, and blessedness. And all of these blessed hopes point to the ultimate fulfillment of the salvation of our souls and our bodies, and yes, our spirits in heaven with God. Peter is creating hope through these words, a concrete hope in a concrete Lord, a concrete resurrection, a concrete life to come, a hope that lets us wait patiently, a hope through victory over cross and grave that both is and will be our victory through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. And now may the peace of God that passes all understanding keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.